Blog Talk Radio.
It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And we survived our mock draft from last week, barely. It was not the greatest of shows. It never is. We had technical difficulties. I struggled with the draft. I got banned from the draft by the great Tim McLeod. We didn't talk a lot about the rounds, but I think it was fun. I heard a lot of feedback that people really enjoyed. And, of course, I heard a lot of feedback that people didn't enjoy it. So, but, you know, we'll make some changes. Perhaps next year I won't draft at all. I will just run the show so I can actually be free to think as opposed to think and draft at the same time. I think that just doesn't work. It's just too hard. But we'll give it one more shot. Hopefully we'll be able to provide some entertainment and some great draft experience for you for next year. But hopefully you did get a lot out of it. This week we're going to be talking starting pitchers. We are working our way position by position, and it's going to be a great show because Tim has ranked 194, count it, 194 pitchers. A lot of the things, particularly early in the rankings, he agrees with the ADPs coming from the NFBC. But the middle and late, boy, he is completely different than what the NFBC has, which I think is fantastic. Shows you where there is value, shows you where maybe people might be overdrafting guys. I agree with a lot of his rankings. I disagree with a lot of his rankings. So I think it'll be a really good time. We'll probably only do about a half to a third of those pitchers, and we'll come back next week to finish it up. And then we'll wind up the second weekend in March with closers, and we will be done just in time for everybody to start drafting. And let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361, or of course, the great Tim McLeod at TimothyLMC. And let us know how your drafts are going. Let us know if we helped you, any of that kind of stuff. There is definitely Dynasty League drafts going on, and I'm spending most of my time talking with people on the internet about, or through Twitter, who should I be drafting and when. So hopefully that has been beneficial to everyone. Also, if you're going to tweet at me, happy to answer most questions, but if you're going to give me 20 names and tell me to pick 10, I'm just not going to do it. So, you know, be reasonable. Give me two or three names, pick two. Give me five names, pick three. Don't give me 15 or 20 names and pick 10. That's just that's just a lot of work. So Tim is just texting me, are we on at 7? And the answer is yes, Tim. Yes, I am on now. And waiting for you. So Tim is running, looks like a little bit late, but that's okay. We've also had, not only are we going to talk about the starting pitchers, we've also had this week a lot of people sign. So we, not a lot of people, at least J.D. Martinez, a significant person, sign. Phone won't dial, though. Doesn't even ring. So, Timmy, I don't know what to tell you, man. Everything is working from our side. Working from my side. So don't know what's up with the great Tim McLeod. So hopefully he will be able to dial in. If not, well, we'll talk about something else, and then we will hit up starting pitchers a little bit later. But besides talking about starting pitchers, we are going to talk about J.D. Martinez signing. Does it make sense for the Red Sox? There was a little concern about his you know, his medicals, and it looks like they changed some of the language around. We'll probably never know what that language was, but it looks like everything is going to clear, and he'll be in Boston very shortly. We'll also talk about the trade that the Yankees again involved in a trade. They got their guy, Brandon Drury. They've liked him for a long time. We'll talk about that and see if that makes sense. And Steven Souza gets traded in that deal. And boy, what the Rays could have had with Trey Turner. And Joe Ross actually going to be a nice pitcher, though he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. And what they gave up to get Steven Souza and then to trade him to receive what they did is pretty remarkable. So those are our topics for today. Again, hopefully the great Tim McLeod will eventually dial in. But until he does, let's just kind of dive into the content here. And let's talk about some of the news and notes of the week. Brent Honeywell to have Tommy John surgery. That's brutal. Brent Honeywell, as everybody knows, or if you don't know, 4-5 pitch pitcher, curveball, slider, fastball. Fastball can run up into the upper 90s. Got the screwball, which is, you know, the Mike Cuellar was the last guy who really threw an effective screwball. So really good stuff. I would say top, I think I have him ranked as like the number 5 pitcher in the minor leagues. Had a chance, I think, to really make an impact for the Tampa Bay Rays, but that's just not going to happen. And it's really, really disappointing for that. So he'll have Tommy John surgery. And guess what? He's not going to probably start pitching again until May, June of next year. So maybe he will get some time in the major leagues next year, but it's probably going to be at the end of the season. So you can ignore him on your drafts this year. You can ignore him for the most part next year. He's probably a late round pickup in the second half of the year. If he's even going to be effective, he might be a guy that comes out of the bullpen. Again, the Rays are going to take it very, very carefully with him. Same thing kind of happened with Alex Reyes. I think Alex Reyes' injury last year happened a little bit earlier than what happened to Honeywell, because it looks like Reyes will probably start pitching in May. But trading in Dynasty League, Reyes was going for probably 80 cents on the dollar. If I had that with Honeywell, would I take it? If I was competing in the Dynasty League and I felt like I could get 80 cents on the dollar with Honeywell, I'd probably do it. If not, I'd probably hold on, and I would actually try to trade for Honeywell if I was lower in the standing. So a lot of times this is where you take advantage. I saw people doing that with Noah Syndergaard last year in Dynasty Leagues where – they were out of it and they traded for Noah Syndergaard and are going to compete this year and have a top flight pitcher. Again, let's assume Noah Syndergaard is 80 to 85% of what he was year before last, which was, all world. If he can return 85% of that value, that's still, a top 15 pitcher in Major League Baseball. Not to say that's Honeywell's upside, but my point is if you're kind of know you're not going to compete this year in a Dynasty League, that's when you go out. And you try to snag Honeywell from, one of the – if he's on a top tier of your competitors, that's where you try to snag him from. And I think that's the opportunity. That's how you win in the Dynasty League game. So let's see. So that's the deal with Honeywell. We also had Forrest Whitley with the Astros turned up a positive for some kind of banned substance. It's not been said what it was. No one has to say what it is. I've heard it was some type of stimulant, some type of intense caffeine. That's the word going around. It wasn't PEDs for sure, and it wasn't a drug of pot or marijuana or pot and marijuana, same thing. But I'm all about Breaking Bad, so if it's not meth, what is it? By the way, if you've never seen Breaking Bad, oh my word, it is phenomenal. I'm in the last season. I can't even begin to tell you. I was up on the draft board today on my Dynasty League, which are these slow drafts, and I was sitting there for, 4 hours as I was consuming 4 episodes of Breaking Bad this afternoon and just exhausted from the whole process and finally went on. Don't even know who I drafted. But anyway, so back to Forrest Whitley. He's going to be gone for 50 games, which will put him out, probably not making his major league debut until sometime in the latter part of the second half. So again, a guy you probably want to just not draft on any kind of redraft leagues. Again, a dynasty league, I see no issue with holding on to him. I would not trade him. One of the top 3 starting pitchers in minor league baseball. Now there's top, like maybe 5, he's probably that same level that Honeywell is. Again, disappointing made a mistake, owned up to that mistake, and moves on. I mean, it's we've seen it 100 times, and it's just really disappointing what has gone down. The Red Sox, as I indicated before, signed J.D. Martinez. I think it's a great sign for them. You know, he's a kid that will has power at all fields, and I think as long as he doesn't try to go right center, which is a deep part of Fenway Park, and if you look at, it does suppress home runs a little bit for right-handed batters, but he's a kid that can take the ball to left center field and not to call in. I tried calling one of the kids and my phone is working fine. Can we use Skype? Let me see if we can use Skype here. Let me play a quick little interlude, and when we get back, we'll see if we can bring in the great Tim McLeod here. Where's our music? Let's see. How about, I'm looking for something that's got a little bit of length here. here's a goodie, oldie but goodie, 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Enjoy while I try to get the great Tim McLeod. And we have the great Tim McLeod. Timmy, how are you?
Not too bad, Rich. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, Tim. You sound great, in fact.
Well, yeah, I'm just going directly through my laptop. I got no microphone hooked up. I'm just going by the mic on my laptop.
Your technical prowess knows no end, Tim.
Limitless is definitely the word of the hour.
Very, very good. So, Timmy, I was just talking about the J.D. Martinez signing. It looks like his medicals are going to work out okay. I like him. The guy can got enough power, can hit it out of any ballpark. I mean, Fenway Park suppresses right-handed power a little bit, but the guy's got, again, can hit to left center just as well. And what do you think the home run power is going to be this year?
I think it's going to be 40, 45, somewhere in that range. I like the signing. The Red Sox missed Big Poppy last year. They really did. And I think this will definitely make a difference in a rather good way.
So, Timmy, try not to turn your head from the microphone. So, so other than that, you sound great.
Okay, I'll move forward a little bit and keep a very rigid, strict pose outside.
That sounds great, Timmy. I agree with you on Martinez. I mean, I think it's 40 in the bag. And, you know, I mean, it's a, you know, it goes back to the American League. It should be something he's familiar with. I mean, he could get out of the gate slow just because of a late sign and all the hubbaloo that around that. But I think in the end, I think the numbers are going to be there.
Yes, totally agree, Rich.
So let's talk about the five that have yet to sign, the big five. Jake Arrieta, Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb, Greg Holland, and Mike Moustakas. I'm just going to throw them out one by one. I want you to tell me what the likelihood of them signing is, and if they're going to sign, is as we sit here the 1st of March or close to the 1st of March, are you starting to knock these guys down in your rankings just because maybe you're worried about them signing or if they're going to be ready? The first one is Jake Arrieta.
Well, I think if you ask me this next week, I'll give you a more definitive answer, Rich. Am I concerned right now? No, not with any of these guys. A week from now, it starts to get a little dicey. 2 weeks from now, we got a problem. Arrieta, you know, like, get it done, Scott. You got to get this guy a contract. You got to get him on the field. You know, with Martinez out of the way, he's the last big name out there. And one would think he's working, Scott Boras is, real hard on getting a deal done, Rich.
Yeah, he and Greg Holland are the two that really, really concern me. I can't believe Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb are not going to sign it. I mean, it sounds like the Twins want one of those guys. I mean, they're not in the same financial league that Jake Arrieta is. And, I mean, the problem is there's nobody who wants to pay the freight for Jake Arrieta. I've heard Philadelphia Phillies, but they're not ready for him. I mean, they're still a couple of years away from truly competing, so that doesn't make sense. And as we talked about, the Yankees are out, the Red Sox are out, the Dodgers are out. Yes, so there's nowhere for him to sign. So he's going to have to take a small, short contract, even a one-year contract, and come back in, or he's going to have to sign for something that Scott Boras is not going to be happy with.
Or some sort of a deal that is filled with opt-out clauses at the end of every year, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be there. I he's the one that worries me the most. Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb, I'm with you. If we're 10 days from now, let's call it, you know, March 7th or 8th, I'm starting to get some concern, but I got to believe those two are going to sign.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, the big stumbling block is money with Arrieta. And it makes me wonder, you know, how serious were the negotiations with the Cubs? You know, the Darvish signing shut that one off pretty abruptly, but I still am not, my gut feeling is Arrieta would have liked being back with them next this year, Rich.
I had heard that it was Arrieta or Darvish, and the Cubs just liked Darvish more than they did Arrieta, and they felt like for the price it was the better deal.
Well, again, it makes you wonder what Arrieta is asking, right? Darvish didn't for chump change.
Client of Scott Boras, so he's asking for a lot. I mean, Scott Boras keeps comping him to Max Scherzer, David Price, those kind of $200 million contracts, and I don't think he's going to get it. And, you know, it's Scott Boras seems like he's played this all wrong this year, all wrong.
Well, the game is changing, and he's going to have to adapt to it. He's not going to be able to dictate, okay, the game to Major League Baseball. It's just not going to work like that, Rich.
Yeah. Greg Holland, Timmy, I mean, I know the St. Louis Cardinals, at last I looked, I think Gregerson is their closer. I mean, you know, look, we've all owned Gregerson from at some point in our fantasy careers, and it usually never ends well. He had that three quarters of a year, year before last, where he pitched pretty well, and then he just fell apart. And this is a guy that's better as a setup guy than he is a closer. He's never, over the course of an entire season, proven that he could close. And it seems like that's a logical fit for Holland, but they don't seem interested.
Well, again, how much money are we talking? And, you know, Holland's another in a, you know, another situation where he might have to take one of those short-term bridging type contracts, a year, maybe 2 years, and go from there. But let's face it, teams are putting together their rosters right now, especially when it comes to the bullpen. They're auditioning, you know, in the few cases where there are additions being held, they're setting their bullpens up. And at some point in time, it's going to get to the point where, I'm sorry, Greg Holland, but, you know, we've made our plans and you ain't going to be part of them. I'm afraid for Greg Holland and his owners. I really am.
I am an owner of Greg Holland in both dynasty leagues that I won last year. And I have to tell you, and I said this at the end of the season, he was a big part of the reason I won, because Timmy, you got all those saves early and you were sitting pretty in that saves category. And I could focus all of my energy, all of my fab somewhere else. And a big part was Greg Holland.
Well, yeah. And, you know, now that we've just, we're just in the process of wrapping up our sub drafts, I haven't looked at your roster in either of the two leagues that I'm in with you, but did you speculate on some closers, Rich, just in case?
Well, I took Luke Gregerson. So, I mean, that's, I speculated on him in one draft. And, but you know, I've got pretty good closers already. I got Neris in DL2. I think I got 2 to 3 closers in each one of those leagues, but Holland I'm going to miss. And I, at this juncture, I'm counting on 0 from him.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assessment when you're planning forward. If he does sign in one of the few spots where he can hold instant save value, well, then it shakes down as a bonus for you, right?
Yeah, that's true. Let's see what I got here, Timmy. I got I got Cody Allen. I traded with you to get Cody Allen. I have Cody Allen and Hector Neris in one of the leagues. So I'm okay, Timmy. And I got Luke Gregerson. So maybe I can get 3 or 4 saves before he blows up. So that's who I have. So I'm hoping that Luke Gregerson will get it through May. He'll blow up, and then the Cardinals will sign Greg Holland and I'll get the rest of them. That's my dream, Timmy. It might turn into a nightmare, but that's my dream.
Well, you know, it sounds like so many of us, Rich. You mastered rationalization 101. You got her down bad, right?
Absolutely, Timmy. Absolutely. And the last guy is Mike Moustakas, who feels like one of those pillow contracts somewhere. I don't know who needs a third baseman offhand, but again, there's no reason for the Kansas City Royals to re-sign him. It just makes no sense. They don't need him. And, you know, once they didn't sign Hosmer, it was like it was reboot time.
Well, yeah, you know, as much as he'd make a nice fit on the left side of that infield with Alcides Escobar, by the time the Royals are ready to go and contend again, Moustakas will be retired.
It could be, Timmy. I mean, that's a long rebuild. I mean, that first rebuild took him 6 years. And, you know, so it's just how long this stuff takes. So, you know, you're talking, Timmy, we'll be old men. We'll be playing canasta and the old folks home.
I'm looking for a hand of canasta right now, Rich. What are you talking about?
There you go. So, Timmy, probably the most interesting of the deals of the news this week was the Yankees, Rays, and Diamondbacks made a three-way trade. Just to cover what happened, Brandon Drury goes to New York from Arizona. Steven Souza goes from Tampa to Arizona, along with pitching prospect Taylor Widener from the Yankees. And the Yankees give up Nick Solak, and Arizona gives up Anthony Banda and a couple of players to be named later to Tampa. So before we talk about, you know, kind of the fantasy implications, Timmy, what the heck are the Rays? The Rays or Marlins? Who's having a worse offseason?
Well, I got to give it to the Marlins because they've got absolutely nothing for some really, really good players. Tampa Bay is just trying to find a shortcut to Montreal, and I think they're well on their way.
You really think that?
Neither team has been supported well in Florida. are the Rays going to get that new park? Are they going to get public money for that new park? I doubt it on both levels. I think one of these two teams in Florida will be gone, possibly two, inside of 5 years, Rich.
Yeah, well, you could be right, Timmy. It's a shame. As you know, I almost moved down to St. Petersburg, which is where the Rays play. They don't actually play in Tampa. And the bigger part of the population, again, my understanding, you know, looking for property down there was on the Tampa side. And it's next to the airport. To get to St. Petersburg, you got to cross a bridge. And the bridge is like, you know, 20-minute ride, Timmy. So it's not like it's right down the street. It's a haul there, but I know the Marlins have had a horrible offseason, but man, Steven Souza, first of all, let's think about what they did. Steven Souza, they could have had Trey Turner and Joe Ross. Trey Turner, Timmy, you know how much I love Steven Souza. They decided they wanted Steven Souza more than Trey Turner. So when they traded Will Myers and all those players, they've wound up with Anthony Banda and some guy named Tyler, or where's his name? The second baseman, Nick Solak, who I've seen play. Timmy's probably an extra player. That's who they got for Will Myers, blah, de blah.
Well, yeah, but they had the room to bring in Carlos Gomez. That helps, right?
That's true. That makes no sense at all. I don't even understand that.
I tell you where it does make sense is that Souza had two more years of ARB eligible coming up. And the bottom line is Tampa Bay doesn't want to pay for those 2 years of arbitration, and they moved him. That's the bottom line, Rich. Simple as ABC.
Yeah, I know, Timmy. And I got to tell you, I love where he's landed. You know, he's only going to play 140 games. He's hurt all the time, but I think that power is going to play big time. In Arizona, he's not J.D. Martinez, but he could be, you know, 80% of J.D. Martinez out in Arizona, at least from a power standpoint.
Yeah, 80% of J.D. less 25% of Humidor. So I still think it's going to be a good move for him. I think it'll work out well. It's not going to affect his running game, but the Humidor comes into play, I think, definitely.
Yeah, we'll see what the Humidor really does. I have no idea what it's going to do, Tim. So, but it's something to consider. I don't know if you downshift, you know, guys like Paul Goldschmidt and, you know, I mean, your buddy, third baseman, Timmy, sounds like Lamb. I don't know if you downshift on those guys a little bit.
Well, I think you have to downshift a bit on a player, say, like Lamb. Goldschmidt doesn't concern me. I think even if he loses 3-4 home runs, his value is so tied into the stolen bases, Rich. And the Humidor isn't going to change that. But, you know, on top of what we've heard about Arizona and what they're doing, I think it's Sports Illustrated announced that all of the teams are being advised to put their baseballs in a temperature-friendly environment this year. Temperature-controlled environment. Now, that concerns me even more than the Humidor, because are we going to start to see a league-wide reduction, possibly, in some of the power numbers?
Sports Illustrated is reporting that Major League Baseball wants them to put them in temperature-controlled, or Sports Illustrated is recommending they... Oh, so they're reporting it.
They're reporting it, Rich, that... Major League Baseball is wanting the baseballs put in a temperature-friendly environment. How's that?
Yeah, Timmy, that's. I had not heard that. I've been watching too much Breaking Bad and not reading enough baseball material. By the way, last season, Timmy, I got to tell you, man, you've got to take a month of your life away and watch the entire thing. It is just it's a time suck, but it is. Unbelievable. I can't even begin to tell you how much I've enjoyed watching this. And I think I'm a worse person for it, Timmy. I will tell you I am a worse person for it, but it is fantastic.
I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, Rich.
No, I think I really am, Timmy. I think I'm becoming numb to a lot of stuff. Particularly what's topical stuff that's going on in the news here in the United States. We're not even going to talk about that, Timmy. It's not good. But if Timmy, that's bad news for fantasy owners because we're all drafting. We have to draft like it was last year and the year before last. We can't. There's no way we can say, well, what is temperature controlled and what's that? There's no way you can do that. But all of a sudden, if power drops 15%, it's going to change the game completely all over again.
Well, yeah, but it didn't change last year, Rich.
Did they put them in temperature controlled elements last year?
Well, no, I was being sarcastic in my reference to Major League Baseball, how things didn't change last year, right? They haven't changed the past couple of years. It's just, what's that word? Anomaly. There we go. We're dealing with anomalies.
Again, if you're right, Timmy, that's a little disconcerting. But let's talk finally. I know you're a big fan of Brandon Drury, and he goes to the Yankees, Timmy, and anybody goes to the Yankees, even though, you know, that he's probably going to bat at the bottom of the lineup and so forth, you got to like that move as well.
Well, I like it a lot better than him staying in Arizona, especially, with Owings probably being at second base. It should get him some fairly regular at-bats, I would think. Unfortunately, on a short-term basis, it probably means Miguel Andujar is going to spend some time at AAA, right?
Yeah, I think he's trade. I think he's trade bait. I think the Yankees don't want to put him up in the major leagues. They don't want to burn time. They don't want to expose him, whatever. He's not going to see the light of day because they're going after Manny Machado hard next year. And if they have Brandon Drury, he's a better third baseman than a second baseman. So, you know, they could probably live with that. And, you know, as a fallback, get Mike Moustakas next year as he's going to be put back on the market. So it doesn't make sense that they have Andujar. They're just going to – whoever gets injured, that's who Andujar will get traded for. That's what it feels like at this point.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we still have Gleyber Torres in the mix as well, okay? And Didi's at shortstop. So at some point in time, Torres has got to fit into this lineup. Torres at third base, and then Brandon Drury shuffles over to second base, and they run with, who is it, Torres?
I think Torres is second. This is what I think. I could be wrong. I think you start off with a combination of Torres and Torres, both Torres playing
right.
Second base. You know, it could be Ronald Torres for the month of April. You know, just as Gleyber Torres is getting his feet underneath him, unless he got the first game, he looked pretty strong. So, but I think as soon as he's ready, you see him at second base, and I think you see Drury as your primary third baseman.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure how that was going to shuffle down, whether Gleyber would be at second or third, but you know he's going to be at one of those two. He's not going to be a shortstop, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a good shortstop, too. It's a shame. I mean, Didi's got the job. It's going to be tough to move him out of there.
Right.
So I agree with your analysis. I think Andujar is the guy that loses out. And it's a shame because if you own him in a keeper in a dynasty league, I think the guy's got talent. He made my top 100 the last 2 years, Timmy. So I've always been pretty bullish on him. But the Yankees don't want to put him up. It's clear.
Well, yeah, it's, it's as clear can be, and unfortunately, until there's some sort of a trade or injury, his value is going to be rather stunted.
Absolutely. Timmy, when we get back, we're talking starting pitchers.
Sounds good, Rich.
You sound fantastic, by the way. You sound really clear.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Maybe instead of my cell phone, we'll head in this direction moving forward, if that works for you. I got no headset. I'm just talking directly into my laptop, not moving my head more than a half an inch in either direction.
Okay, well, besides that, I guess it works great. So, how was your week, by the way? Any drafts you had last week? Any drafts coming up?
Yeah, the week was pretty good. I spent most of it tidying up some personal things that needed tidying up and making more plans for my road trip. Got a nice invite out for supper in New York. Some Luger's restaurant or something.
Peter Steakhouse? Luger's? Oh, my
What's
gosh,
that?
Timmy. Peter Luger's? That's really nice.
Yeah, that's a definite go for, Rich.
For sure, Timmy. It's very similar to the place I took you and Kathy a few years back, the Ruth Chris. It's in that genre, Timmy. It's really, really nice. Who's taking you?
One of our longtime podcast listeners, Rich.
Well, Timmy, I wanted to have dinner with you. I don't know if I can have dinner or supper, but I'd love to have dinner with you. I'm going to be in town specifically for those days, Monday and Tuesday. So can I wedge myself in with this Peter Luger dinner? It's a guy who got deep pockets.
Well, you know what, Rich, we're going to find a way to make that work, and we'll make it a trio on the town. When are you getting into town? We're looking at Thursday night for that.
No. I'll be back by then. So I can't do Peter Luger. So no, we'll talk off the air, Timmy. You don't want to bore everybody with our dinner plans, but maybe I should extend it to Thursday if it's Peter Luger's, man. Wow.
Wait, yeah. Do I have to bring like my dress jeans, Rich, or what?
Probably. It might be jackets required. I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been there. It's very nice. I mean, the steaks are ridiculous. I mean, just ridiculous.
I've got a winter coat. Does that count?
That's very funny to me. They'll go, sir, where's your coat? And they'll hand you one as you're walking in. So don't worry about it. You'll be good. The listener will take care of you, so.
Well, yeah, I'll need a rental or something like that, Rich, to make it work.
This isn't the Ford dealer guy that's taking you out.
No. It's no. I'm just not going to mention his name over the air because I don't know if he wants his name mentioned. So it's just a long time. His first name's David. Long time show listener. Actually, he's a musician as well. So I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about, Rich.
Cool. It sounds great. No one's. I lived in the New York area, Timmy, for 15 years. Nobody invited me to dinner. Nobody. None. Zilch. Zippo.
Not even like drive through. No.
Not even drive through, Timmy. Nothing.
No, you got to find a way to extend that. We got to find a way to make that work.
Timmy, people love you. They tolerate me. That's the difference.
They don't know you well enough, Rich. That's what it is. Okay?
I keep myself. What about that guy last week? Folks, if you like got bored at the beginning of the show because it was just so long, you got to go to the end. When this guy from some other podcast calls and he asks this Stratomatic question to me, I've never played Stratomatic in my life. No clue what this guy's talking about. He clearly just wanted to talk to you. And you've got to listen. When Tim says, well, gee, the best person to answer that question is my partner, Rich, you should have heard the guy's voice like, oh, I don't want that guy. I want my buddy Tim to answer the question. I'm like, oh man, I was like, this sucks.
You know, Rich, that really threw me for a loop because Pete does a show on Kitchener Radio, okay, live radio, 60s music every Friday night, and I've known him for probably 15 years, anyways, and a great guy, and it caught me totally off guard that he called in. Like I said, I've known him for years, and it was just sort of like out of the blue. Hey, Pete, yeah. Like, you know, I listen to his show on Kitchener Radio every once in a while on Friday nights, and just a good guy, but he sure came out of the blue.
He's a big fan of yours, man. He didn't care for me at all, man. All he wanted to do was talk to you. I actually went back and listened to it, and his voice changed when he's like, oh, you won't answer my question. This other guy will. Okay. It was so bad.
Oh,
it wasn't
a good night, Rich, was it?
It was not a good night for me. You banned me from the draft. I got kicked off of Blog Talk Radio, couldn't get back in, which is why I had to do an auto draft there, and then the Ford guy yells at me for doing that. I'm like, you know, I'm getting beat up by everybody, and the only people that call in like you, and they all hated me. It was a tough show for me, Tim.
Well, I'm sensing that, Rich. You know, I do have to thank coach managers because you know what they did after that, Rich? Just because of what shook down, okay, as far as me booting you out of the draft. all the drafts now, when you go to their control center, okay, they're highlighted in bright pink, the boot section. Mm-hmm. And basically, there's a little blurb underneath that we have taken this extra step because of Tim McLeod. And if you hit the link, it goes to our podcast, okay?
Does it really? That's very funny.
Yes, it does.
So what they should do is make that dumb Q button bigger so people over the age of 18 can see it. I mean, come on.
I will ask them to do a site challenge thing. But no, they actually, in honor of that, they made mention of the fact that they were preventing me from possibly destroying future drafts and podcasts, which I thought was very thoughtful.
That is very thoughtful, Timmy, and very practical as well. Because let's face it, I love you like a brother, but man, technology and you. When you ban me from the draft, I'm like, oh, that figures. I mean, everybody's like, how could that happen? No, you don't understand.
No, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, hey, I got no plans for Sunday night for the next rest of my life. Like, how is this really going to affect me in the big picture, right?
It was very funny, Timmy. Anyway, we struggled through it. We will make some alterations next year, Timmy. I might decide just to do the show and not to draft because I'm not smart enough to be able to do everything at once. Pick up phone calls and talk and think of stuff to talk about and draft at the same time. It's the same way every year, and it's something's got to change. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, you know, Rich, maybe it's just run its course and it's time to look at something different. Like maybe we can do something like, Alex Trebek's show. Okay, we can have people calling in and guessing the answers. Or do something different, eh?
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Timmy, I got it. I can't explain it. I'm telling you. We get about 20 to 25,000 calls, 20 to 25,000 downloads per episode in season. Like this is our season. We hit that on Wednesday on the mock draft podcast. I don't understand it, Timmy. It'll be 40 or 50,000 downloads, which is insane. That's like ESPN kind of like volume. I mean, it's insane, and I can't explain it.
Well, and you know, Rich, between you, me, and the fence post. That's our ugliest show of the year, I think.
It's not even close. It's terrible.
It's horrible. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you know,
maybe people just like listen to Alan and, you know, and everybody else that calls in. I don't know. Maybe they're the stars of the show and we're not, Timmy. I don't know.
it baffles me, Rich. It really
does. Timmy, let's talk starting pitcher here. So we're gonna do the first 50 or 60 or so, and then Tim next week we're gonna finish it up. And because of our lousy show on last week, I'm finally gonna do my midweek podcast of prospects and dynasty league redrafts. I'm gonna do that show so to make up for the bad show that we had, Timmy. I will be at the beach this week, so I'll be by myself. So I'll have a chance to do that, and that's what I'm doing. I'm making up for everybody.
Sounds good, Rich. I'm sure everybody will enjoy going through those prospects because, let's face it, we're into sub-draft time. Let's get them out there and get her done, right?
So, Timmy, first of all, if you want to go, I can't stress this enough. Like, go to Prospect 361, go to the fantasy link, and you'll see all of our rankings out there. The starting pitchers will be there in the next couple of days. You got to check this out, folks, because as we're going to go through these, the first dozen or so pitchers, there's not a whole lot of difference between the ADPs, but mid and late, there's huge differences. And these are important because this is Tim's, you know, a professional fantasy player, and this is the guy that's telling you who he values more than the masses and who he thinks are overvalued by the masses. And Timmy, I think this is where you can win your draft by grabbing some guy that you like more than the others, and you know, all of a sudden in June they're up and pitching great and you're winning a league and the guy who didn't pay attention is losing because they picked some other guy.
Yeah, there's some big numbers out there. I'm looking at the number 56 on one, Rich.
I know, Timmy. I thought it was a typo there. Anyway, let's get through this. So you got a good 1 through 10. We're not going to talk a lot about these, Timmy, because they are the top 10 pitchers in baseball. And it's Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, Max Scherzer. The NFBC goes Max Scherzer, Chris Sale, but it's almost Scherzer, Sale, back-to-back, your choice there. Corey Kluber, Madison Bumgarner, Steven Strasburg. NFBC has Strasburg for Madison Bumgarner, but that's probably a half a round, if that. Luis Severino, Noah Syndergaard, Jacob deGrom, Carlos Carrasco are the top 10. Timmy, and they're the elites of the elite.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's a lot to pick and choose when you start looking at, you know, the top 10, 12 starting pitchers. I think they're pretty much carved in stone. Yeah, hey, you know, you like Strasburg a bit better than Bumgarner? Well, take him. There's nothing earth-shattering in the top 10, 12 starting pitchers, Rich. Nothing at all.
No, I totally agree with you. And I guess the one thing, the one name I'll just throw out there, and it's Noah Syndergaard. And I think, you know, Timmy, he lost most of last season with, we're not even sure what injury it turned out to be. And
yeah.
I keep telling people, 85% of the Noah Syndergaard, because I don't know if that was his outlier year that we saw, but I think he's going to be very, very good. And I don't see anything that would prohibit me from taking him as a top 10 pitcher.
No, I don't see anything either, Rich. And, you know, right now I've got him at 8, and he's going in the NFBCs at 8. I would not be surprised come end of the year to see him ranked anywhere from 2 through to 8. How does that sound?
I could say 2 to 10, 2 to 12, something like that. I could see him worse, but I don't think he's, unless he gets injured again, Timmy, we can't predict that. I mean, I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a number one from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah. I don't have any problems. Once you get past, you know, Kershaw, Sale, Scherzer, Kluber, though the big four, there's a bit of a gap. Any of the next 8, 9 starting pitchers could end up in that fifth spot, as far as I'm concerned.
So, Timmy, let's go through the next 10, which start to be interesting. There's two pitchers in particular that you disagree with the masses and what they're drafting at. So first at 11 is Zach Greinke. 12, Carlos Martinez. 13, Robbie Ray. 14, Yu Darvish. 15, Chris Archer. 16, Justin Verlander. 17, Aaron Nola. 18, Dallas Keuchel. 19, your buddy, Jose Quintana. And number 20, Gerrit Cole. The two guys that stick out in this group, Timmy, is Carlos Martinez. You have him 4 slots higher than the NFBC. And Justin Verlander, you have him 5 spots lower than the NFBC. So you've almost got Carlos Martinez and Justin Verlander flip-flopped.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned when I look at Verlander, Reg. How many innings did he pitch last year?
A ton
of them. Yeah, there are lots of options in Houston, okay, that will allow them to work Justin Verlander a little bit less during the regular season, to have him rested and ready to go for the playoffs. And you know, you start looking at that, plus the combination that I believe he's 35 this year. That's just off the top of my head. Age is starting, you know, I'm not getting ready to write him off, but at the same point in time, he's not getting any younger. So I think it's a safe move, or at least I'm perceiving it as one, to just downshift a little bit on Verlander. Now, I'm not talking
good
about
team,
writing
though,
him
Timmy.
Off.
Good, good team. He's on a good, good team.
Well, he certainly is, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Verlander pitched 180 innings in the regular season this year. Would you?
I'd be disappointed if he pitched 180 innings, given his string of 200 innings when he's healthy.
Right.
But, I mean, you're going to tell – yeah, I mean, I would say 180 to 200, I'd be okay with it. If it's 160, I would be – shocked at that.
Yeah, as would I. I just don't, you know, Houston's chasing the big prize. They got lots of options. I don't think they're going to overwork Justin Verlander so they can finish first by 26 games as compared to 22 games. Does that make sense?
Yep. Carlos Martinez, Timmy, why do you like him so much?
He's young. I like the upside. I think he's ready to take another small step forward. When you look at Martinez, Ray, Darvish, Archer, they're all in amongst the same area. And I think you could basically order those four in any order that you choose. And I wouldn't have any qualms about it. I think they're almost like a tier amongst themselves, those four guys.
If there's one guy that worries me out of that foursome, though, is Chris Archer. To me, he was bad last year.
Well, yeah, but you're looking at, what, 250 strikeouts. There's definitely some concern. That's why I have him ranked fourth amongst that group. But it's hard to pass up those strikeouts. It really is. And there's a ton of them.
Yeah, and let's, you know, we say it's bad, 407 ERA. Again, if you like advanced metrics, 340 fielding independent ERA, which, Timmy, that feels good to me. 11.1 strikeout per nine, a 2.69 walk per nine. What was elevated was his home runs, and that's usually what screws a guy over. I think he could pitch very, very well and still only win 12 games. That's my concern about Tampa. But, you know, having said he was terrible last year, Timmy, he pitched better than that.
Well, you know, between Carlos Gomez and Kevin Kiermaier going 40-40, I think he'll have enough offense, Rich.
There you go. So, Timmy, Jose Quintana, he pitched pretty well when he got traded to the Cubs.
Yeah, he did. There were a couple bad games in there that I think elevated his numbers, Rich. I have no qualms, concerns about Quintana being the Quintana that we saw up until, per se, last year. I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's going to be fine in Chicago. I have no concerns.
Yeah, it's funny, Timmy. You know, as an analyst, we can sit here and talk about players all we want, look at the stat lines, I can scout them and so forth. It's not until you own them that you really know how bad some of Quintana's starts were. Because I was an owner of him last year, and, man, it would be like 9 earned runs. It's like, oh, my God, why did I start him? You know, and then you wouldn't dare sit him because the next game might be, you know, 7 innings, 3 hits, you know, 8 strikeouts.
Well, yeah, all it takes is one or two blowouts, and it really does a number on the overall ERA and WHIP. And does that make a pitcher a bad pitcher? No, it means he had a bad game. And for the most part, Quintana has avoided those bad games and been a model of consistency for the 2 to 3 years prior to that. So I'm giving him a mulligan on that, anticipating we're not going to see any more of those 1 1/3, 8 earned run outings, Richard.
Let's hope, Timmy. Let's hope. So we're going to take a quick little break here, Timmy, get back. We're going to talk about some guys you really, really love. Picks 21-30 get very, very interesting as the great Tim McCloud differs from what the NFBC ADPs are showing.